Welcome along to the Short Ball Rugby Pass podcast. Today is a Wednesday in New Zealand. I love Wednesdays. Wednesdays are all about the wind down to the weekend. And also, when it comes to Mitre 10 Cup, it's about winding up for the next week, which is just like last week, but the same as the week after. Millsy's headphones aren't working. We'll get that turned up in just a second. But we do welcome to the line Mr. Darren Whitcomb, coach of the Taniwha. Hello to you, Dubsy.
Good morning, Subo. How you going, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Taniwha in action tonight, but you're currently in the bush doing something. What are you doing in the bush?
Just looking for boundary peaks, mate. Property's on the market. Agents asked me to go down the bush and find some stuff, so no luck yet, but we'll get there.
You'll find some hood rats, bro. Is this the Waipu property, mate? Some hood rats probably come and stolen them and used them for firewood.
Quite possibly, Subo. Yeah, you know what it's like up here.
I do indeed. Hey, Dubsy, it's still a challenging season. You're not assured of a semi-final spot yet, but let's go back to the start of the year. Northland coming into this season on the back of 2 wins in 2 years, currently 3 wins out of 6 games. It has been, in every sense, a turnaround for the Taniwha. What do you put it down to, mate?
Mate, I think we just really, when I come back from Japan, I just had a look at what had been going on and things like that, and I'm definitely not going to judge what has been in the last 2 years. But from those findings, I just really simplified things and really had a couple of key non-negotiables, some good values that we all got to stick by, from management to players. So basically making sure we're all on the same page, mate. And I mean, we've got 3 values that we sort of stand by: integrity, work, and enjoyment. So if we live those, we thought we would go all right. So far, okay. We've dropped a couple of games we probably shouldn't have. So we need to keep our feet on the ground and make sure we go out tonight and enjoy our footy, but be ruthless with our execution.
Now, I say, Dubsy, you talk about values and things like that, but now, how good is it to have sort of local players come back? I know, you know, in speaking to you a few months back, you know, the dynamics of it all, and you know, how, you know, challenging it is to get some guys, you know, obviously out of the bush and things like that. And yeah. But how good is it to have, you know, the guys like Rene Ranger and that in your squad? It sort of just, I suppose, in some ways, you know, just hammers home, you know, what those good values are of being a Northlander. Is that what you'd call it? Or a Taniwha, a good old Taniwha,
yeah,
eh, Sumo?
Yeah, mate. I think it's huge, Millsy. Like I've always said, I'd rather, you know, a player that's not a rock star, but willing to live, you know, be a Northlander and they know what Northland's about. I think you're going to get more out of them than a rock star coming in that doesn't really know what we're about. We'll get more value out of them. And I think it's really something that our young players can inspire through. They see our local boys playing in the Taniwha. I mean, we've got enough talent up here. Like you say, it's just finding them in the bush sometimes. We've got to find them. We've got to find them and we've got to keep them on track. So that's the goal for the next 2 or 3 years while I'm here anyway, is to try and build a good, strong local group of people.
You're like a pig dog, Dubsy. You're like a pig dog going sniffing them out.
Yeah, mate. That's what it's all about, eh? and it's a bloody good challenge, eh? Geographically, I think we're the biggest province, with the most clubs and all of that, so it's exciting. It's a challenge, and all our RDO staff, you know, all the office staff, we're all in it together. So I hope we can make some strides forward.
Dubsy, you've had your ups and downs in your rugby career, and I know there's been some pretty serious downs for you coming into a head coaching job, and obviously you've had coaching work in Japan with George Cornier, but coming back to Northland as a head coach. Did you have any anxieties around the attendant pressures of being a head coach of a provincial side, especially one you have an existing relationship with?
Yeah, definitely. I looked at that when I obviously came home a year early. I asked Mitsubishi for an exit. Obviously looked at that before I said yes to come back. Yeah, there's always expectations. I think I went through a phase there where I was like, oh, you know, I made the right decision. But I know deep down that I have. Like with our players, I try and explain to them, don't worry about what others' expectations are. If you know what we want to do, or what you want to do personally, and keep on the path of your plan. There's always going to be people, exterior stuff that's going to put pressure on you. But if you can look past that, it's going to make things easier. So that's really what I've done and believed in what we want to achieve as a union.
Dubsy, you spent a bit of time in Japan, and as you say, you sort of asked for a release a year early. I mean, there are a lot of differences, in Japanese rugby compared to New Zealand. I mean, do you take, any positives from your time over there and some of the learnings that you've sort of obviously undertaken and sort of bring them back to a small place like Northland?
Yeah, definitely, mate. Sort of goes, correlates with what Sumo's question. I think, especially those anxieties and things, you learn to be a lot more patient in Japan. You probably know all very well, Melvin.
Yeah.
There are some different frustrations over there. So, I mean, I learned a lot in the 2 years I spent in Japan and working with George. Like, he knows the systems over there inside and out. So I could sit back and watch and learn off him, really. So I learned a lot about myself as a coach, and I've come back different, a lot more patient, a bit more chilled out. Less anxious and all of that. It was definitely good for me going away personally and professionally. So it's good to be home now.
Well, Dubsy, I know you guys are going into your storm now, so you've still got 4 games to go in 3 weeks, mate. Starts tonight against Otago at Toll Stadium. I'm sure the stands will be full, mate, and we'll see you for a Leon Rouge after.
Beauty. All right then, guys. Thanks very much. Good to catch up.
Good on you, Dubsy.
Cheers, Dubsy. Darren Whitcomb, coach of the Tunny Farp. With some insights into what's going on up north. Look, it has been a season. I know I go on about the Tunny Farm, but it has been a good turnaround for them. Like I say, though, Millsy, they're not out of trouble yet. Wellington, Otago, Bay of Plenty, North and Manawatu, 5-4. That's basically the equation now.
Yeah.
Wellington's and Bay of Plenty, the only two teams that have played their 7 games. Mm. So the rest have got to go through that big raft of games before the end of the season. North and Otago tonight, Otago's sitting second, Northland's sitting fourth currently. This is a massive sorting game for them. And then they've got another one on Sunday, both teams.
Yeah, it is. And then, Otago coming off, a bit of a high after, convincingly beating Auckland. So this is really, if they can get this under their belt, and, Dubs, you mentioned it before, there's probably a couple of games there that they should have won, and they could possibly be sitting a little bit higher up the table. But, it's basically a chance for them to get, if they can get this one underway and get it under their belt and get a good win, then it'll just give them lots of confidence going into the next 2 games, because this next few games is going to be massive.
Oh, it is, mate. It's totally massive. When you look at the Premiership too, switching sides here, Canterbury, look, they are destined, I think, to be in the semis, if not top qualifier. But Taranaki play Tasman this week. Mm. That's 2v4. Harbour have got a tough game. Waikato have got a shield game against Canterbury as well.
Yeah.
Look, I wouldn't count out anyone in that Premiership at the moment, although Auckland's sitting still in the relegation spot, 1 point behind Counties Manukau, who are in turn 1 point behind Waikato. Waikato, Counties Manukau and Auckland, the bottom 3 teams in the Premiership.
Yeah.
Something broke here.
Yeah, there's something not totally right. And I think the biggest concern is perhaps the team at the bottom at the moment, we've spoken about it before, and you hope they can try and get themselves off the bottom. But, even Counties, last week there was a perfect opportunity for them to try and get some points. It was a draw, but, and Waikato, they started with a hiss and a roar. And then it just goes to show how hard this competition is. And I think, all those 3 teams have sort of played that, those 3 or 4 games, within a small amount of time. But it is a little bit concerning. And you certainly hope they can, start playing or finish the season well. So, who knows who's going to end up at the bottom of the table. That's the concerning part, those 3 teams at the top of the North Island, bar Northland, are struggling.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. Interesting, where North Harbour and Northland are the 2 best performing teams in the wider Auckland Northland region. I think you got some concerns. So having a discussion today about the makeup of this competition. We're 3 weeks to go. Can you name me 5 of your friends who know where everyone sits on the table and who everyone's got next week?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think it wasn't until even last week, I didn't even know who's in the Premiership or who's in the Championship. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of had after I thought about that, I thought, well, maybe do they need to revert back to just playing, each other once and then just going from that and reverting back to the old NPC system?
Well, as someone pointed out this morning to me, this whole system was instituted because of the window for the Rugby World Cup back in 2011.
Oh, wow.
And we've kept the status quo, which may suit people in some areas of the game. But All Blacks aren't playing Minor 10 Cup, so that shouldn't be a concern about when this tournament starts. I would just love to see a sense of occasion back in Minor 10 Cup. I mean, you and I both know I love this tournament.
Yeah.
And the footy's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a couple of dud games here and there, but by and large, the skill level's great. The history of the tournament is really important that we protect that and cherish it. And the players are our next generation of players. Yeah. They are going to come through and play Super Rugby. This is the first time we see them in a first-class environment. I just sometimes wonder if we have just lost our way in terms of the sense of occasion of provincial rugby.
Yeah.
Let's take the crowds out of it for a second, because I think you've got to separate those two issues. You know, crowds are always a problem for any sporting team to attract people to a stadium. But the fact is, it gets even harder when you don't even know when your team's playing next and who they're playing against and what that game might mean for the tournament.
Yeah, and when you talk about the sense of pride, I mean, you're getting guys in the championship that are beating the teams in the premiership. Right. And if you're not kind of like understanding that, I mean, I suppose you've taken a little bit out of it. So, you know, why not go back to that? This, you know, NPC, you look back, you know, 10 or so years ago and, you know, you had the crowd, you had that you know, that provincial backing, everyone is right in behind it, you know.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's lost its way a bit in terms of the following, and perhaps it's because, you know, people are a little bit confused about how it all works.
Speaking of awesomeness, what about Augie Pulley pulling the pad off the goalpost on Sunday? What?
Was he? Hey,
that is such a great move.
Wow, the halfback can't score on the pads now, can they? Was he going to get binned for that? Because, you know,
I don't know. He obviously did it to stop them scoring a try. He wanted to stop the game. Yeah. Who thinks like that, for starters? That's the first question. Who has the wherewithal to go, I know how to stop this. I'm going to pull the goal pad off the post. Then Mikey Lash, the referee, says, well, I can't penalise you, so we're just going to have to play the scrum.
Yeah.
Had County's scrum been a bit better, they may well have got out of danger.
Yeah.
That would have been the winning of the game.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the thing is that, well, I didn't really quite see clear evidence that it was an actual try after that. But I was wondering what he was up to. You know, I thought he just wanted to sort of get in front of the post to make a tackle. But it was probably clear and obvious what he was looking at doing. And that's making 100%. Sure they don't score on the pads.
There's one other player that I know has done this before.
Who's that?
You would know this person. Played number 8. And ironically, for Bay of Plenty.
Oh, not Colin Burke.
Correct.
Did he do that, did he?
Colin Burke's pulled off the same move in Japanese rugby.
Oh, in Japan?
Yeah, in Japan.
And
I don't know whether he got binned. I don't know what happened. But yeah, Burke started a trend.
Oh,
rip off the pad.
Well, those pads are pretty thick these days, aren't they? Hey? It's probably about a metre and a half in front of the actual line.
I love that stuff. Also, just before we move on this chat, Turbo Man came up in conversation this week. We forgot Turbo Man in our mascot chat last week. So we do apologise to all the Manawatu fans out there. Turbo Man is good. I'll give him that. Turbo Man's good.
Green Turbo Man.
Yeah, he goes all right. Speaking of the Minor 10 Cup, I just said before, you know, young players coming through, a new generation of stars will go through naturally to Super Rugby. What about one old man who's come back? Okay, 35 years old, last week, top 15 in the comp for tackles, top 4 for carries, top 10 for metres run with the ball, top of all for defenders beaten with 11, top 10 for offloads, top 5 for line breaks, and the most kicks in play. Can you name that man?
Mike Delaney?
Correct.
There you go. Well,
correct.
It is. Man, I mean, how massive. Apart from the fact I think he was injured in one game, he's had a magnificent season. Isn't it great? I mean, I remember talking to him during the Lions series, and he was saying that, you know, he's wanting to come home. And, you know, a lot of guys after their careers overseas tend to come home and sort of just go about their own way. Well, this guy's come back and sort of brought energy and enthusiasm, obviously, but also experience. And so, you know, the way he played in the weekend and also against Southland. Mm. I mean, there was sort of one man that stood out in that game, and that was him. So you might get a call-up, mate.
I love any man who cramps up while taking the 79th minute drop goal. It was dead set the highlight of my round. If Mike Delaney plays well on Saturday, Auckland don't stand a chance. That's how valuable he is to Bay of Plenty.
Yeah, you're right. And so, I mean, you've basically just given, you know, Auckland their preview now, mate. Stop Mike Delaney.
You've got to stop Mike Delaney.
Yeah.
It was so good when Beaver Donald came on the field with about 25 minutes to go. I thought, this is the greatest matchup in Mitre 10 history. Yeah. Stephen Donald on Mike Delaney.
The two chief stalwarts. Look at that, mate.
You know the history there too.
Yeah.
You know the history there.
Yeah.
And sure enough.
Was Fozzie there?
No, Fozzie was not there. Daddy is over in Argentina. But yeah, straight away, Beaver went for a show and go on Delaney. straight away. You knew that was going to
Beaver goes on a show and go on everyone, mate.
Well,
first
that is very true.
Come on.
Ranfurly Shield's up for grabs this week. Millsy Canterbury taking on Waikato. Do we give Waikato any chance here after Canterbury bounced back from that trouncing at the hands of Wellington, beat Harbour, had to come back in that game as well, second half crushing of Harbour's dreams and hopes. Do we give Waikato any chance? Two wins so far out of seven games.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite impressed with Waikato at the beginning of the season. You know, those two wins were solid performances. Yeah. You know, but it's hard to go past Canterbury. You know they've sort of got dished up a little bit in Wellington. Well, they did. You know, Wellington gave them a good old decent flogging, and then the way they've come back against North Harbour. So I mean, but anything can happen. You know, it's the Ranfurly Shield, and I think amongst all the players that are playing, it still holds a massive amount to them. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, the answer's no, isn't it? Canterbury win the Shield again. And then they've got one last challenge after this against Taranaki, which could be an absolute bell ringer. We move on. Mills Rugby Championship back in action this week. We'll touch on Bloemfontein a little bit later. The Wallabies taking on the Springboks. But first of all, the All Blacks in Argentina. I love the rhetoric around this game. How, you've just come off a 57-0 hammering of South Africa. And everyone's going, Argentina will be tough at home. Let me tell you how tough they are at home. The All Blacks have never lost there. That's how tough they are at home.
Yeah. Well, they drew there. What was it?
They drew.
18.
They've drawn in Argentina, but they've never lost.
No.
They've never lost. They've got better. Has Argentina got better? No, they have not.
Yeah. No, I don't see the All Blacks losing. Yeah, I definitely don't see them losing.
No.
No way. I think when you talk about sort of, It's a different atmosphere. Now, I haven't played there before for the All Blacks, but
100 test matches, you never played in Argentina.
No, I was one of the ones that got left behind 1 year. Damn, Bernie Barrett got on there. Yeah.
Oh, gee,
hey?
Really?
Yeah.
Stink.
So, but, the last time they played there, they gave them an absolute flogging. So,
although I put a caveat in here. The last time I saw a whole bunch of All Blacks running around watching other teams play sport was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that didn't end well either.
No.
But at least they've got nice River Plate jerseys, all of them.
Oh, they have, eh?
Yeah, they're really nice. I hope they got one for me.
Yeah. No, they're really good. I mean, that's one of the, I think, that can be a distraction. And you talk about Chicago and things like that, and then you've got guys that have been left behind. Yes, you got to sort of play the guys that haven't sort of had much, just to keep that experience going. But, I think they would have learned from Chicago, and I think, Shag and co would have, hammered in, make sure you do your preparation. If you're going to go to watch the football, you've got to make sure you do all your stuff. And that's the sort of stuff that they've got to get right.
Wyatt Crockett's there, but he's going to be on the bench. If they're consistent, he didn't get the start last time when Joe Moody got injured, so he's not going to get the start this time, which means Kane Hames will get the start at loose head. Most penalised player in Super Rugby, 6 penalties against him in his last outing for the All Blacks. 6 penalties in one game. That's a hell of a rap sheet. They've got to play him because they've got to say now, we back you. You've got to go out there and do the job. What's interesting for me is in their loose forward mix, I think they start Matt Todd.
He's there. Sam Kane.
Kane's not there. To me, Matt Todd, and they'll leave Savir on the bench. Well, that was a really interesting talking point for me around the South African selection, because they talked about the fact they wanted to keep as much of that bench together as possible because it's become a unit within the team.
Yeah. It's almost like another second team, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then Artie Savia is a bench player. Mm. Wyatt Crockett's a bench player. Then in the locking department, what do you do with your mix? Because Romano's going to get a start.
Yep.
Barrett surely gets a start. Do you put Paddy Tuipulotu as lock cover, or do you put Via Fifita as lock cover / loose forward cover?
Or do you straight out put Tuipulotu in there? And then you're sort of you're sitting there with a mix. I'd probably like to see that, really. Just get Patrick out there. He's showing some good form during the Mitre 10 Cup. Barrett has also had a fairly big workload. So, perhaps you put Fifita back out there to sort of cover the lock, Lucy. And that might be a good combination. But Romano needs to start. You know, I think there's already talk out of there that he's going to start anyway. So I think that'll be the mix I'd like to see out there for sure.
What about your bugbear around Damien McKenzie? You say he's an out-and-out fullback. All reports out of Argentina say Harvilli is going to start at fullback and D-Mac is going to be covering first five. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that as long as Steve's okay with that. I think, you know, it's just when he's been introduced into, my opinion is if he's introduced into international rugby and he's playing good at fullback, you know, just let him find his way in Super Rugby. He's probably was the best, you know, out-and-out fullback. And so, you know, I'd like to see him stay there, you know, personally. And perhaps, you know, the All Blacks have got a different sort of feel. You know, Sopoanga, well, he has to. Sopoanga's here with his new
That's
baby.
Right.
So,
he's got his baby.
You know, obviously he does cover that position, but it gives David Harvilli, who's been in some outstanding form, but we've also heard, you know, he likes playing in the midfield.
He does. He thinks he's a 12. Speaking of 12s, we'll wrap this up here. Midfield is a conundrum again. Anton Leonard-Brown, for me, starts at 13. No Ryan Crotty, so that's an out-and-out selection. Yep. Now, do you put Anton Leonard-Brown, still a rookie in international footy, with another rookie in Ngani Laumape?
Yeah.
Or do you, by virtue of the fact you are naturally conservative, put Sonny Bill back at 12, so at least you've got a senior veteran in that 12 role, which is a crucial role in the game?
Oh, it is. And, you know, Sonny's been playing some solid football. So, you know, for a little bit of stability, I think you'd put Sonny back out there. You know, Laumape will get opportunities over the years, and he is an outstanding player. But you just need a little bit more experience. And it kind of showed in different aspects against the Lions when, Anton and Laumape were together. You know, they just, you know, a couple of occasions they lost their way. And that was just by, you know, like little wee handling errors and things. So I'd put SB back out there. He had a fantastic performance against the Argentinians last time. Very solid, didn't sort of have to do too much. And I'd definitely put him back out there, Sumo.
Wallabies take on the Springboks. I pity the fools. And Bloemfontein, the Springboks have got to bounce back here. They have no option. If they get dusted by the Wallabies on a home track, they are in all sorts.
Yeah, I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll definitely bounce back. It's just which sort of Wallabies team wants to turn up. You know, I mean, man, that first sort of 10 or so minutes or that whole game against the All Blacks at Dunedin, you know, they're capable of actually winning some good footy. But in Bloom, if the Springboks don't bounce back, then they could be in serious trouble. And it's a funny thing, hey? We look back about a month ago and all the talk was the Springboks have changed.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, they're, you know, they got 57 odd points against them and the pressure's back on them again, which
to me is the most staggering thing. All the talk we heard, Matty Pearce out of Supersport, who was over here commentating the game, all the reports from within the camp, we've turned a corner, our culture's good, we know where we want to go, they'd strung together a series of victories. That is a massive reverse.
Oh, it is.
57-0?
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
And that's the thing a lot of people don't realise. You know, you come off on a big high after a Super Rugby campaign. Yeah, you drew against the Australians and then all of a sudden you get dusted up. This is where, you know, they actually have to try and define themselves. Do they still think, you know, that whole culture that they're talking about, you know, believe in themselves? Now they're in a situation where they've got to bounce back, and it's often the mental side that's probably a bit more powerful than the physical side.
Millsy, finishing up the short ball today, three countries have put in bids for the Rugby World Cup 2023. France rolled out Jonas Sons on Sebastian Chabal's knee, which is one of the most awkward things I've ever seen in my life. Ireland, I think, rolled out Bono and Bob Geldof. I don't know what South Africa did. The Guptas? Did they roll out the Guptas? Where do you see this going? I'm all for Ireland. I'm all for Ireland based on the fact that I think they're well ahead of where the others are in terms of their bid. I think it would be a fantastic World Cup. I think it would be a great show to the world that Ireland has taken seriously in the game. They're coming off a high of last year and what happened against the All Blacks in those back-to-back games. This is a way, I think, to re-energise the game in a country not too dissimilar to New Zealand in terms of size and population and the intimacy of the venues. Yeah. I think it would be a wonderful World Cup.
Yeah, I definitely tend to agree with you there, Sumo. And I think, you know, they've got plenty of really good venues. I know they play a lot of Gaelic football and a bit of hurling and stuff there. So, but they are, you know, they're well ahead in terms of, their bid. You know, the popularity of the game in Ireland. Yes, it's a similar size to New Zealand, but the popularity is just absolutely growing. And also their women's game has been fantastic as well. So I think they are, and you know, to give them a chance, you know, give them a chance to be able to, you know, host something like that. I know, you know, I think, you know, South Africa's, you know, had their turn, but, you know, there's so many different things that are hindering whether it gets there or not. And also, you know, the French as well. So I'd like to see it go to Ireland for sure.
I mean, what was intriguing for me about the French is that, you know, the comments made that if we don't have the World Cup, you know, it'll destroy rugby here because, you know, well, you've destroyed rugby yourselves by allowing egomaniac billionaires to take control of the game. I mean, France has not done a single thing for the World Game. It has all been about self-interest. Their clubs are self-interested. What's throwing a World Cup at France going to do to change that? Absolutely nothing.
Maybe bring them some more money.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And here again, it's self-interest. And then what do the clubs say? So well, we don't want to stop playing, so you can have a window to play a World Cup. I think it'd be a debacle.
Definitely. And that's why, you know, as we've talked about before, it's got to, you know, it'd be great to see it in Ireland. You know, you won't sort of... You don't have those outside influences, you know, and it's pure, and you see that in New Zealand. You know, how great was that? Probably the best World Cup ever.
It was okay.
Hey?
It was okay.
Well, it helped that the home side won too, though.
Yeah, well, that certainly did. That certainly did. Imagine Ireland winning a World Cup in their home country.
Oh, mate.
We'd drunk for weeks.
On a good bit of Guinness over there too, mate.
No, I've never been to Ireland. I'd like to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm starting the campaign.
Oh, no, I can see why you're throwing
I'm starting the campaign. I want to go somewhere different. Yeah, I've started the campaign.
Okay.
2023, here we come, the short ball, live every day during the Rugby World Cup 2023. That'll do it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Mitre 10 Cup all week long. Of course, the Rugby Championship continues. The two big games, Argentina hosting the All Blacks, South Africa hosting the Wallabies. So much more as well, including all the best from up north on rugbypass.com. Make sure you subscribe today. By the way, Dave Rennie's Glasgow, top of the table.
No.
Oh,
mate.
Chiefs, munna.
Jeepers.